times. Hey, tonight, a bunch of you guys are going to take cookies like this, and you're going to leave them out for Santa Claus. Am I right? Who's leaving cookies for Santa Claus? Raise your hand if you're leaving cookies for Santa Claus. That's what I'm talking about. Listen, do not, if you expect for Santa Claus to come, and if you expect for Santa Claus to do good things for you, you got to leave him some cookies, y'all, okay? So make sure that you leave Santa some cookies. All right, now listen, I'm a fan of the sugar cookie, okay? I like the sugar cookie. The sugar cookie is delicious, and it's great. But I need to confess something to you here today as we meet together. The only thing I really care about on the sugar cookie is the icing, okay? Don't make me a bunch of sugar cookies with no icing on it. That's a waste of cookie, right? The whole point of the sugar cookie is to convey the icing to my mouth. That's why the sugar cookie is formed and fashioned. If you eat a sugar cookie without icing on it, you're missing the point of the sugar cookie. That's my opinion, right? I feel strongly about the sugar cookie with icing on it, right? And when you're leaving sugar cookies, if you're leaving cookies for Santa, let me say this. Santa Claus prefers chocolate chip cookies, okay? But if you're going to leave cookies for Santa Claus and you don't have chocolate chip cookies, you can leave sugar cookies for him. Just get some icing on those, okay? That's all I'm going to say about that. So, but that's the whole point of the sugar cookie is the icing, okay? That's the whole point. And this whole, for the past 3 weeks, through Advent, you and I have been working through the story of Advent. We've been talking about the Christmas story, and we've been talking about this amazing, beautiful, life-changing story, and it culminates with the words that we just read. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means, everybody say it together, God with us. God with us. That's what this whole season is about. That's what this whole season is about. And you and I, we can run around in the Christmas season focusing on all kinds of other things. But the fact of the matter is, if we're running around through this season focused on all kinds of other things other than this central truth, God with us, it's kind of like a sugar cookie with no icing. Flavorless. A waste of dough, okay? The whole point of this season is to convey the message, to help us remember the message that Jesus Christ came for you and me, God with us. So let's talk about that passage, all right? And in order to do that, this in Matthew's quoting from, actually he's quoting from Isaiah chapter 7. The prophet Isaiah, hundreds of years before Jesus was born, wrote this passage. And so if you would turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 7, we're going to take a look at this verse in its original context, and we're going to pull out some truths that I believe God wants for you and I to remember right now as we're digging into this season of Christmas and as we prepare to celebrate the coming of Christ tomorrow. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 2, here's what it says. The news had come to the royal court of Judah. Syria is allied with Israel against us. So the hearts of the king and his people trembled with fear like trees shaking in a storm. I'm going to pause right there. The first truth that I believe that we get from this passage of Scripture is that life can sometimes leave us feeling shaken. And that's what Christmas is about, too. Christmas acknowledges the fact that the world in which we live is broken and it's messed up. I don't have to tell you that. Any of you guys who watch the news, if you watch the news or if you listen to the news or if you get your news on Facebook, please don't do that. But if you do, right, if you get your news in those ways, as you look around at what's going on in the world, it's easy for you and I to feel discouraged. It's easy for us to feel shaken. It's easy for us to assume this world is getting worse and worse and worse, and what's going to happen, right? We all feel that way. And I can say that from watching the news, but some of you guys know what that feels like just in your personal lives. There are things going on in your lives that are leaving you feeling shaken. And that's kind of where some of us are living today, and we got to acknowledge that. The story of Christ acknowledges that. It refers back to this time in Israel's history when Israel was feeling shaken, when Israel was wondering, because the king, these two kings allied against Judah, that was a bad thing. It was a scary thing. And sometimes for you and I, what we're facing feels too strong for us. What we're facing feels intent on destroying us. like an invading army. We feel like we're facing it alone. And victory sometimes seems impossible. And that's where a lot of us are living. Generally speaking, in the world today, it can feel like that. It can feel like it's hopeless, feel like there's no way forward. It feels like the world is just coming apart at the seams. And in our own personal lives, it can feel that way. Life can leave us shaken. Victory feels impossible. But look what happens in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 3. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, take your son, Shear Jashub. I have no idea how to say that. I just made that up right there. Shear Jashub. And go out to meet King Ahaz. You'll find him at the end of the aqueduct that feeds water into the upper pool near the road leading to the field where cloth is washed. Tell him to stop worrying. Tell him he doesn't need to fear the fierce anger of those two burned out embers, King Rezin of Syria and Pekah, son of Remaliah. Yes, the kings of Syria and Israel plotting against him, saying, we will attack Judah and capture it for ourselves, and then we will install the son of Tabeel as Judah's king. But this is what the sovereign Lord says. This invasion will never happen. It will never take place. For Syria is no stronger than its capital, Damascus. And Damascus is no stronger than its king, Rezin. As for Israel, within 65 years, it'll be crushed and completely destroyed. Israel's no stronger than its capital, Samaria. And Samaria is no stronger than its king, Pekah, son of Remaliah. Unless your faith is firm, I cannot make you stand firm. And the second truth we see in this passage is this: God's strength is our foundation. I don't know if you noticed, but the Lord tells Isaiah to go and meet King Ahaz. He tells Isaiah exactly where King Ahaz is going to be. Go and meet King Ahaz right here at the place where people go and wash their cloth. He's going to be coming there. You go, you meet him where he is right there. And so Isaiah goes, and later on, he finds him there, right where God said he was going to be. And this is good news for you and I today, because sometimes when life leaves us feeling shaken, sometimes when life leaves us feeling like there's no victory or no hope is possible, here's what we need to know. God knows exactly where we are. He's not looking for us. He's not confused about where we are. He's not searching for us somewhere. He knows exactly where we are. He knows exactly what's going on. And he's sending his reminder of his strength to us. That's what he says. And so he sends Ahaz over. He sends Isaiah over. Talk to Ahaz and tell him this. And I love this part, because he's like, I know you're worried about Damascus. I know you're worried about Israel. I know you're worried about these two people getting together to fight you in Judah, right? I know you're worried about that, but let me tell you something. Syria's no stronger than its capital. Damascus is no stronger than its king. Israel is no stronger than its capital city, Samaria. Samaria is no stronger than its king. Who is Judah's ruler? Me. I, the Lord God, am your ruler. And so these other kingdoms, they got to put their hope in a person. They got to put their hope in a burned out ember, is what the Lord God said. But remember where your strength comes from. It comes from me. And the story of the Christmas season is a reminder for you and I that God is with us. He's with us when we feel shaken. And his strength is our foundation. Did you hear what he said at the end? He says, listen, I can't make you stand firm unless you trust me. Unless you put your faith in me, I can't make you stand firm. And I want you to hear something this morning. This is so important. God's strength, God's power is unleashed when we place our faith in him. And when we remember the birth of Jesus 2,000 years ago, what we're remembering is that God came for us. When we place our faith in him, he becomes our strength. And that's good news for you and I, who often feel weak, who often feel like we're just being pushed around and bullied by the world we live in. But that's not all. Verse 10, look at what it says in verse 10. Later, the Lord sent this message to King Ahaz. Ask the Lord your God for a sign of confirmation, Ahaz. Make it as difficult as you want, as high as heaven or as deep as the place of the dead. But the king refused. No, he said, I will not test the Lord like that. Then Isaiah said, listen well, you royal family of David. Isn't it enough to exhaust human patience? You're getting on my last nerve, King Ahaz, right? But must you exhaust the patience of my God as well? All right then. The Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. By the time this child is old enough to choose what is right and reject what is wrong, he'll be eating yogurt and honey. For before the child is that old, the lands of the two kings you fear so much will both be deserted. Here's the last truth that you and I need to hear from this verse. God's promise is God's presence. What God wants to give us. Look, we're all excited about gifts. I am fired up about who is ready to open presents tomorrow. Raise your hand if you're ready to open presents tomorrow. I'm ready. I can't wait. I'm not pretending. I'm not going to pretend like I'm somebody other than who I am. For you guys, I'm going to confess to you, I can't wait to open my presents. We like to get gifts. The Lord God is giving you and I a gift. That's what Christmas is about. Do you want to know what it is? The gift is himself. God with us. That's the truth. That's the promise of Christmas. And I want you to hear that this morning. It's important for you and I to acknowledge that this morning. And here's the thing, in just a few short years, though God says in just a few short years, these two kingdoms, which you're so afraid of, they're going to be gone. And guess what? Did you know that was true? Completely true. A few short years after this, these two kingdoms have both been destroyed, have both been conquered. And God says, this is going to happen because I am with you. That's Isaiah's message to Judah. And that's what Christmas means for you. But it's even better than that. It's even better than that because all of this that was going on in the book of Isaiah is just a foreshadowing of what's to come. These folks, King Ahaz, he was so worried. He was so worried about this kingdom of Syria, so worried about this kingdom of Israel coming to attack him and lay siege to his cities. He was terrified of it. But the truth is, the thing that we are struggling with in this world, the thing that was being struggled with in that world is so much more profound, so much more frightening than that. It's our own sin. It's our own brokenness, our own tendency to reject the love of God and to turn our backs on him. That's what the real problem is. And because of that problem, you and I are sick, infected with sin, and we're dying. That's the truth. And this story of God's rescue in Isaiah, it's a foreshadowing of the true rescue that comes in the person of Jesus Christ. God delivering his presence to you and to me. God declaring once and for all, do not be afraid, for I am with you, Emmanuel. And that's what you and I need to hear this morning. God's promise is God's presence, and God is with us. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to receive communion. You want to know what's beautiful about communion? When we receive communion, we receive the Lord's Supper. What we're doing is we're reminding ourselves of the purpose of Jesus Christ, the purpose he came to fulfill, which was to suffer and die for our sins and then to be raised victorious over sin and death forever on behalf of you and I. That's what he did. That's what he did. And as you and I come to receive communion, what we're going to do today is we're going to reflect on the presence of God, the truth that God is with us. Now listen, I want you to hear this. When we do this, this is a big deal. We believe that when we obey God, God's power is unleashed in us when we obey God. And when we obey God by remembering his sacrifice, and by receiving communion together, God's Spirit interacts with us in a beautiful and in a profound way. His power is unleashed in us. And so as we come today, we're going to remember together what Christmas is really about. Emmanuel, God with us. And as we come today to receive communion, we're going to open up our hearts and allow the Lord God, his Spirit, his presence with us to change us today. Anyone in this room who has surrendered their heart and their life to Christ is welcome at the Lord's table. It's not my table. This table doesn't belong to First Shallow Water. It's God's table. Anyone who belongs to God can come. And so if you're a Christian today, we want to invite you to receive communion. We do this by intinction, which means that we tear a little piece of bread off and we dip it into the cup, and then we eat that. That's how we do it here. There's a whole lot of reasons for that. The main reason is because it's probably the most sanitary way we can think of. So that's what we're going to do. For those of you who are uncomfortable, though, touching the bread that other people have touched or whatever, there's some packages in the back. If you go back to, there's two tables back there, you can get a little communion thing that's all packaged together, and you can receive communion that way. We want to make sure that everybody can receive communion here today who's a follower of Christ. But as we come, let's open up our hearts to the Lord God. Let's remember that His presence is with us, and let's reflect on the truth of this season. We're going to do three songs, and so you're welcome to come at any point during these songs. You can come down to the front and receive communion. You can go to the back and take one of the prepackaged communion things, but just whenever you're ready to move, move. You can take your time. We're going to be doing several songs, but sing with us, worship with us, and receive communion with us. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you so much for your presence. Thank you so much that you came to save us. Thank you so much for your promise. Emmanuel, God is with us. We love you. We need you. We ask you to speak your truth into our hearts and into our lives in these moments. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.